Thank you very much for such a warm introduction, Yusun. As she said, I'm Jill McBride, and my day job is at Strathclyde University, where I'm a professor and I'm also a head of department. I'm head of the Hunter Centre for Entrepreneurship. But I'm really here today because I'm co-director of something called the Interact Network. And the Interact Network is funded by UKRI, so one of the things Ezra was talking about earlier, and it's part of the Made Smarter Innovation Programme. And the Made Smarter Innovation Programme is all about looking at how can we make the UK as competitive and as sustainable as possible by introducing new digital technologies into manufacturing. And the Interact Network, again, I'm very pleased to say, is actually funded through the ESRC. So again, it's social science married with that technology. So like the speakers in the morning, I'm very, very passionate about making sure that social science is part of how we develop technologies, because as Helen says, we are this kind of socio-technical system these days, which was, I really liked that phrase. So as I say, my work is largely focused on manufacturing at the moment. And throughout my career, I've always been passionate about manufacturing. Made Smarter is all about this kind of digital technologies and manufacturing. And maybe just a second just to talk about the theme of today's event, which is all about risk and resilience. And I think manufacturing is very important for the resilience in the UK, because as we realised during COVID, manufacturing is important to keep us in supply of the goods that we need to eat, to keep our houses safe and all these things. And when we saw disruption such as COVID, we realised actually how vulnerable some of our supply chains are. So Helen alluded to some of the research that's going on just now, looking at that kind of using data to understand the impact on society. So that's really where I'm coming from, this kind of manufacturing stance. So I'm going to talk about manufacturing largely, but a lot of what I say is probably applicable to other areas of work. And I'm going to get a few things out the way before I really launch into it. And questions that came up this morning, do I think that digital will change the way we work? Absolutely. Do I think we'll all be out of work? No, I don't. So again, these themes came up this morning. I'm not that kind of doom and gloom. I think digital is enabling us to do things differently. It's helping us to be more productive, as we talked about this morning, which is a good thing. But I don't think that our jobs will disappear. I think some of the tasks will disappear that we do. And hopefully some of the tasks that we don't like, the dull, repetitive, the dangerous type things. But I actually think we'll fill our jobs with other activities that are also very important for adding value. And again, we talked about this a little bit this morning. Things changed so much in the last 3 years. I mean, our attitudes to work changed, didn't they? I mean, COVID showed us that we could work in a hybrid manner. And that's made a lot of people question about what's important in their lives and where does work fit into it. A very simple example, my hairdresser a few weeks ago announced she was giving up hairdressing because she was going to work for a bank who was going to allow her to work from home, be around her children and not have to come into travel into work every day. So she was valuing that flexibility, time with her family. And there's lots of people in all different sectors that are thinking the same. I mean, COVID, one of the positives of COVID was it accelerated our uptake of digital tools. So I think a lot of companies are stronger in terms of their digital capability. So that is one good thing that came out of that whole horrible period. And again, we this morning was all about AI. AI has caused this stir in the last, you know, year or so. Talking about the change in the way that people do their work. And absolutely, it's changing the way that we will work. It's changing the way I work in education. It's definitely changing the way my students work. And lots of you will be familiar with that. Will it continue to disrupt and change jobs? Absolutely, yes, it will. Will AI and other digital tools make us more efficient and productive? Yes, I think they will. But I'm going to go back to a period in history. All of you, I'm sure, have heard of Adam Smith. Adam Smith was a good Scottish economist. But back in the 1930s, Adam Smith said, we're going to get more and more productive in how we do things. We're going to get more efficient at things. So he said that by now, we should all be working 15 hours a week. But it hasn't happened. And I don't think it's going to happen in my lifetime, sadly, either. But as I say, we are moving in a different direction. We are becoming more productive, and digital tools are helping us to do that. You know, some companies, I work with quite a number of companies just now that are looking at the way that they work, how they, the times that people work, we're moving towards 4-day weeks. And then, as I say, there's other people who are actually just electing to work less and have a more flexible approach to work. And that work-life balance, I think, is changing. But today, we'll pick all these up in the discussion, but today I want to tell you a bit about some work we've recently done that's largely about manufacturing. And it's about perceptions of manufacturing and work in manufacturing. And this work we kind of came out because I'm leading the future of work, manufacturing work stream within Interact. So we were going out and speaking to lots of manufacturers. We were trying to engage them about the digital journey and how things would change. But the thing that kept coming up time and time again was we're struggling to get people today and it might get worse. So that pushed us to say, well, let's go and find out, why is this a problem? Why are we not attracting talent into manufacturing? So I'm going to share with you some of the evidence from that that piece of work. And we surveyed over 2,000 people. I think it was 2,107 in the end, across the UK, and it was people of working age. So the first slide that I'm putting up here is we asked people about what is important when you're looking for a job. What is important to you? And I've separated it out. The green is female, the blue is male. And I've done that because there is a difference in attitudes of what people are looking for. We could also cut this data in terms of age. We could cut it by area of the UK, which didn't make any difference. But age and male, female did make a difference. And I just want to draw a couple of things out that I'll come back to later. So obviously everybody wants, you know, good pay and benefits. But some of the things that were really important to the female respondents was around this idea of working for a company that had a mission they could get behind, values they could get behind, had policies that were open to equality, diversity and inclusion. And again, looking about environmental issues, more important to the women in the audience and also the flexibility. So I'm going to come back to that a little bit later. But I think that's important. What are people looking for in a job? I think there's some interesting things there. Manufacturing. And I'm saying there's a problem with recruiting talent. And Make UK, who's the kind of body for manufacturing in the UK, did a study in July 2023. And they reported that within the manufacturing sector, there was 74,000 empty jobs. 74,000 empty jobs. And that's basically for every 100 jobs, three of them are lying empty and difficult to fill. Now, the economists say that that equates to around £6.5 billion in lost revenue. If we managed to fill these gaps, we would be able to produce goods at that value of revenue of £6.5 billion. So it is an issue. But it's not an issue just for manufacturing. That's what I've been studying. Manufacturing. I think we've talked ourselves out of thinking we do manufacturing. And I'd be interested to see in this audience whether you know the answer to this question. But there's a survey that's done every year. Again, it's done by every year. And they ask... they look at the revenues that we get from exported manufacturing goods. And the UK currently is number 8 in the world. So the revenues of our manufacturing goods are number 8. Now, for a tiny little island, that is pretty impressive. as you would imagine, you know, you've got your Chinas, your America, your Japan, India, and so on, that are all in front of us. But number eight in the world is pretty punching above our weight. But if you ask the UK population, as Make UK did, what do you think the UK population said? Where are we in the world? This year they said they thought we were about number 43 in the world, which is actually the UAE. Now, we're a lot better than that. Even worse, when they did it last year, the answer came back number 56 in the world, which is Kazakhstan. So I think as a nation, we've stopped talking about manufacturing and stopped valuing it. And I think for resilience, I think this is an issue. So that's one of the things I want to talk about. But the next thing we asked in our survey, again, as I say, 2,107 people across the UK, and we said, do you value manufacturing? Is it important for any of these reasons? And the good news is here, because across the UK, people said, yes, we think manufacturing is important. So you can see there about 85% of people are saying, yes, manufacturing is important because it gives us the goods that we need. And that resilience thing that we're talking about today is in there. So I was quite positive about that. Manufacturing is important because it gives us goods. It's important for innovation. Manufacturing contributes a lot of the kind of innovation and R&D to our economy, manufacturing firms. People recognised it was important for economic prosperity and also for our reputation, for security and so on. People were less sure about jobs. Are there jobs in manufacturing? People still aren't sure. Now, sadly, people value it, but when we said, would you recommend it as a career to your nearest and dearest, your friends and your family, less than 40% said yes, they would. And part of that, I think, is down to the fact that people's attitudes are perhaps perhaps a bit of the past. They're not really seeing the manufacturing of today and the manufacturing of the future. So the first speaker this morning talked about a bad word cloud. I've got a worse word cloud now. But we asked people about some of the words that they associate with manufacturing. And this is what people said. So they see manufacturing as being, it is important, it's essential, but it's manual. It's poorly paid. It's technical. Now, the ones that really worry me, so this was if let's say there was 40% of people said that, it's a 40-point font. But if only 8% said it, it's an 8-point font I've used. So the thing that really worries me is things like modern and dynamic. People weren't using these words in relation to manufacturing. So if we need to keep our manufacturing going, we need to change some of these perceptions. And then when we asked them about what were their perceptions about jobs in manufacturing, so kind of going back to, remember we said right at the start, what do people want in a job? And now we ask them, what do you think manufacturing gives you? And public opinion on manufacturing jobs was not so good. So the thing that people valued, particularly females, particularly young people, when we asked them, was employee voice. They don't think manufacturing gives them that. Remember as well, right at the start, when we said what's important and people said flexibility. Again, particularly females, particularly younger generation, they don't think manufacturing gives them that. And it's also quite worrying that they don't even think manufacturing gives them a safe environment to work in. So manufacturing has an image problem at the moment, it's fair to say. So if we want to attract good people into this sector, we're really going to have to get over these problems and show people that we do offer jobs that have flexibility, that we're doing important things, we've got values and missions that excite people. We're making goods that help people's health. We're making goods that give us simpler lives. We're giving goods that really add value and are important. And we also are thinking about sustainability and well-being and equality and inclusion. So this is why they wouldn't recommend it to other people. today. While we're on social media, this might come up again later, but I bet you some of you have got friends or children or family that talk about what do you want to be in terms of jobs, and people will talk about using social media and being influencers. Well, don't dismiss it. Don't dismiss it, because, you know, for some people, as I say, you know, productivity gains that we're getting through using digital technologies, how are we filling our time? Well, you know, as a modern academic, I come and talk at events like this, but using social media is also an important part of your career nowadays as an academic. You fill that time that's been, you've been more productive in some ways, but you fill it with other things. The job changes. And I think that's happening in lots of sectors. So in manufacturing, yes, there might be less kind of physical manual work, but are people having to do more to promote their organisation, think about the outside world and so on? Again, don't dismiss the influencers. I was having a conversation at a dinner last week with a Scottish entrepreneur starting a new business. And he said, it would be great if we got so-and-so, an influencer, to post about this new product that we're doing. And we all went, oh yeah, that's a really good idea. I hope that works out. And he turned around to me and he said, they've asked for 1% of my company to do it. And he hadn't said no. And this is somebody who is a very, you know, somebody who's been very successful in business. And he is seriously considering giving somebody a percent of his startup business, which may well go on to be a success. So don't, you know, social media is there, and it's important. So I'm going to leave you with a wee bit of good news in terms of the future. When we ask people about what do they think future manufacturing jobs are going to be like using more technology, the answer was they're going to be more high tech. They're going to be more advanced. More high tech, more advanced. I'm a wee bit disappointed that there wasn't a bigger answer at that bottom one about being less repetitive. That surprised me. I thought that would be higher. But on the whole, I think it's a reasonably positive. People think that in the future, manufacturing jobs are going to be more high tech, more advanced. This one maybe tells an even better story, because when we ask people about, do you think it will mean more upskilling? A large percentage of the population thought it would. So they saw that as a positive. And they also saw that manufacturing jobs they thought was going to be more interesting, rewarding, more green was another thing that they saw, which is true. So again, a positive outlook. They were more mixed when we said, do you think jobs are going to disappear or are there going to be more jobs? And I'm a more jobs kind of girl. I think that history tells us that technology disruption tends to lead to more jobs. And I'm not going to lie, you know, some people's jobs, parts of these jobs will disappear. Perhaps some people's whole jobs will disappear. But overall, I think the picture is positive. When we looked down at that, when we looked into that in more detail, what we found was age affected that answer. People of a younger generation were more positive about the outcome. People of an older generation tended to be more worried about the jobs and security. So what? Where am I going with this? Well, I think we've now understood a little bit better about people's attitudes to jobs in manufacturing and to what they're looking for in jobs. For the manufacturing sector, I think we need to change some of these perceptions, and I think we do need to use social media and embrace it to help us to do that. But I think as well, if we want to attract good talent, we need to address that gap between what people want in a job and try and build in things like flexibility and voice into how we advertise our jobs in manufacturing. And with that, I'm going to leave you with our Interact information. If anybody wants to know more about the work we're doing about digital and manufacturing or about the future of manufacturing work, please do join us on our LinkedIn site, our website. There's lots of downloads available there. So I'll leave you with that. Thank you very much.